Public Space Travel is a leftist, anti-capitalist podcast of disgruntled academics, video gamers, and friends. Our belief is that knowledge should be made more accessible and be used for anti-oppression and non-hierarchical revolutionary ends. You can support what we do at patreon.com/publicspacetravel and reach out to us at publicspacetravel@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 208-502-1406. Now, onto the show.
This Public Space Traveler PST RPG episode series is unofficial fan content permitted under the fan content policy. Not approved, endorsed by Wizards. Portions of this material used are property of Wizards of the Coast, copyrighted Wizards of the Coast, LLC. And special thanks to Tabletop Audio for providing all of the exceptional audio to help further immerse this RPG experience. Last time on PST D&D RPG, the party trekked the snowy tundra of Iselcross to search for the Sasselvault, an ancient laboratory which Birdfucker had previously explored and found bottles of the Frigid Woe. The party's hopes is that the cure to the Frigid Woe can be found there also. Along the way, they successfully crossed the thin sheets over freezing water, leaving their charmed rivals to freeze there. Days later, they did find the Sasselvault, and fought off its icy door guardians, then burst inside with the help of Old Man Quibble's rod. We take off where they left off, about to fight two magically animated suits of armor. Everybody, please roll for initiative.
Oh,
Every time we start and you mention Birdfucker, I can't help it. I just lose it.
Yeah,
because I forget, and then you say it, and then I'm like, oh.
That's what this is.
You should have seen the email that I sent to, or a text message that I sent to Laz. Like, I'm like, I can never remember the name, so I think I sent him like a dozen, not probably not that many, but like four or five, right? Like four or five.
It's a dozen.
Names. I was like, I'm going to call him one of these every single time.
Mm-hmm. It'll be the name that just changes constantly.
Birdfucker. What's a B?
A what?
I got a B. It says custom roll B. Oh, 20.
Oh, dang. Shit.
I got a 4.
Why is it a B on my dice?
Damn. Because it's badass. Yeah. I don't know. You got a 4?
Yeah.
Is it B on the D&D Beyond? Is that where you saw it?
Oh, yeah, probably. The D&D Beyond.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's for Beyond. Okay, got it.
I got an 8.
8? Already?
I have a 3.
Oh, boy.
Hatchy 13 matchy.
For me.
Oh, yeah. All right. Let's see for the easier.
So this animated armor does not want to dialogue with us, it seems.
Not these. I do want to note, I did find some rules for parlaying with monsters. So there might be more opportunities for some more narrative, less combat. However, sometimes it might just not work, and sometimes they're hungry. Who knows?
I love that Datari is like, so they don't want to dialogue them? Are we not dialoguing? Like, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, buddy, hey.
Hey.
Whoa, what's all this?
All right, Arya, you're up first.
What does that mean?
you rolled a B, aka you rolled a 20. So okay. you reacted so fast to this animated armor that just clanged into the room.
I have to choose what I'm going to do?
Yeah, you get the first to do it, yeah.
Why do I want to be that? Hold on. Sorry, I'm still learning how to navigate this
me
thing.
Too.
Me three.
Oh, magic missile for sure. I can do that, right?
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Do I have to like roll for magic missile, or is 20 my roll for my magic missile?
You just have to click on the the thing saying you're casting the spell, and then you get to roll some damage, because I think it's like an auto hit. I think magic missile is like one of the few that's
there's just. And no. So then I roll. Which one do I roll?
Let's see.
I think on the D&D Beyond page, mm-hmm. if you go to actions and all, at the top should be like where the magic missile is, and then there should be
your spells.
Where under the column where it says hit slash DC, I assume it's the same.
For magic missile, so you're going to go under spells. It's a little different.
Okay.
And then you're going to just first click on, if you didn't already, that cast the magic missile.
I did that.
Okay, cool. So it's going to create, I'm just clicking on it here, three of those glowing darts of magic. Did you want to do all three against one of the suits of armor, or do you want to split it up?
Let's split it up.
Okay. Like one and two?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, two and one. So two in the first. I don't know where they're positioned. You're the one who tells us like where they're.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that they kind of just burst in from through a door.
To the right door or left door? I forget.
On the left door when you're looking at the map. So west.
And I reacted so quickly. They basically are coming in one after the other, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I like Spidey sensed them basically. And like flicked my wrist basically like that. Okay, got
it. Yeah, basically. So. Each dart's going to do 1d4 plus 1 force damage. So go ahead and just click on that. You see like the effect. It's got the little damage and all that. You're going to just do it three times and let me know the number.
Wait, what do I do?
Do you see the 1d4 plus 1? If you go to the right of Magic Missile.
Oh, yeah.
So you just click that three times and let me know the numbers.
Three.
Okay.
And then do it again.
Yeah.
Two.
There we go. Five. Five on one.
Four. Five.
Ooh, max damage. Oh yeah, five. All right. Okay. There you go. The magical darts definitely hurting this animated armor.
Was it five damage? Is that what it was?
That's like so. I don't like. Could you give us a little more than that, please?
Okay.
Dungeon Master. Oh yeah, it's definitely causing a little bit of damage. We definitely see some magic missiles flying. I'm like this. It's like a football play-by-play.
Last time you were like, "Hey, don't describe it so vividly."
No, I didn't say. Well, I don't. First of all, it's not like real people. Second of all, it's animated armor.
Okay.
So
here we go. All right, the two missiles burst through and blow off one of the arms of the animated armor. You hear it go, eh! It's the rusty metal noise, and the other one right into its nipple protected area, and it's taken some damage. Oh!
He said nipple.
Nipple. Nipple protected area. Like men know anything about that.
Who are you to say whether or not conscious armor walking around aren't people? How do you know?
He said they were animated. He didn't say that they were conscious.
All right. They weren't.
Well, maybe they are. I don't know.
Animated. Is like that does not. I'm gonna look this up. The difference between animated and conscious. So just so that we're clear about.
We should all read Mel Y. Chen's book Animacies. If you want to go on a deep dive on this topic.
Yeah, we don't.
Really good.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh. Everyone always shuts down my philosophical idea.
I'm going to read it. just real quick, because I probably should have asked this. We know where the armor is. They kind of just busted into the room, and they're on the west side of the room. But where is everybody? Who came into this room first? How do you all imagine your placement here?
Was I still first? I was first... when we walked up to that door and the little tiny creatures attacked us, but I don't know if I'm still first.
Say Baron was definitely just walked into the room and is just touching everything.
Okay.
100%.
I can't remember.
And then Redison went in there to read.
I was wherever the front desk area.
I
like that.
Because we exploded that thing. We had to explode the door. Oh, and I was behind Reticent. So I'm behind, or I don't know if I still am, but I was.
Ah. Okay. I think Zatara is like somewhere in center area.
Okay. But we're still in like the foyer.
So
Datari would have had to come in first, right? Because he's the one who blew the door open with the thing that we weren't sure was going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I think I did come in first, but I think Barim and Reticent went in further than I did because they were reading and touching stuff.
That sounds good. Mm-hmm.
I think the sign said explicitly, do not touch anything.
That's correct.
It did.
Unless you have permission.
That's correct. Okay, so
I know Barim doesn't really care what the sign says.
Why we have animated... Barim's gonna bear him. Nay, conscious armor now?
I think so. Okay. I think so. So
like we did this?
We did this to ourselves.
Again, we, Barim.
Oh! He read the thing.
I think I would actually take the blame because I ring the bell. I made the noise.
Oh.
Ring my bell. Oh, yeah.
You can ring my bell.
And there goes our copyright strike against us. who's closest to the armor right now? I guess that's the main question because these are some pretty darn pissed off suits of armor, if I'd ever say so.
Listen, one of them is in deep tittle or pain, so.
My armor. Yeah.
I'll do it.
All right. Well, up next is one of the suits of armor, and it's going in for a slam attack on Barim. So, Barim, what's your AC here?
21.
Ooh wee! All right, here we go. It's coming in for a slam. No, unfortunately, You just kind of like did one of those like cartoon sidesteps that was just like, this is too easy. And the suit of armor missed. However, the suit of armor is, these animated suits of armor, they get to make two melee attacks. So even though you missed the slam, here comes a very animated armor punch at you as well. And it grinds up and... Brim, you just sidestepped that one too. This is that's pretty shameful. Okay. All right. Up next is Reticent.
Does the suit of armor say anything when it tries to do its punch? Like, does it go?
It does like a. It does one of
animated
these
animated punch.
It does one of these with its shoulders.
Oh. How come Brim doesn't get to attack?
It's
not my turn yet.
He's coming up. He's coming up.
Oh, okay. So he was just closest.
Yeah.
Got it.
Slow boy.
Mm-hmm. Hunty, I think it's because you were talking about basketball earlier, but I have a basketball's theme song, like come on and slam and welcome to like to the jam, like one of those songs that they play just like in my head right now.
That's the fight theme, that's what's going on right now.
Yeah.
That's the Space funny. Jam.
I was gonna say like a Space Jam sort
yeah
of
like thing. Just yeah.
Or do I have to? I don't know if I have to do something to find out. But do they happen to be undead?
No, they are magically constructed, animated, magically animated suits of armor. Just yeah.
But again, okay. With or without consciousness, because that makes a difference about how violent we can get.
I'm gonna say that they're not sentient. However. I may change my opinion depending on the reading that Lycan had suggested. And so I'll get back to you all on that.
No, we're over that by the time. I'm guessing this isn't going to be like one of those texts. Like this isn't a meme.
Episode 20. Guys, I'm sorry. Book. I think it was animated and it had sentience. I'm sorry.
Whatever.
Oh well.
This is for the listeners out there, Redison is choosing what to do next.
I am consulting the spell book over here.
He's very quickly thumbing through his spell book as the suits of armor try to slam Barim. Oh, yeah.
Okay,
just a second, please.
Because isn't Isn't Sudema injured?
Yeah, didn't I get hurt by that little that little thing? Let me see what my
little ice.
Yeah, demon. I'm at 9 out of 13 for hit points.
Okay.
So I think I'm still kind of hurt. Okay, we both got hurt.
Yeah.
what's your HP, Datari?
Max of 13, and current is 9.
9, so you're both 9. Okay. I'm going to, I don't know.
Who are you going to help? Datari also is Frigid Woe.
This really determines. That...
That's true.
This I'm Frigid Woe, but I also...
I'm trying to figure out whether to, if I need to like do a protection thing on Burim, or if I should heal. I feel like maybe I should hold off on healing because you're both like okay, kind of, but I also don't know how much damage these people do.
Burim apparently is fine. He sort of like salted his way.
I feel like it's less dodging. I just get into like the video game mindset where I'm like, I have to protect the tank, quote unquote.
Sorry.
The beefy boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it is probably less dodging and more like you were reaching for something and the suit of armor missed the first time and then you stood back up and then the suit of armor missed the second time.
I'm wearing like super heavy armor and they're just like hitting me on the back. I'm like, huh? Who's that? Reston, is that you?
What is this on the floor? Did anyone feel that breeze?
Was that a fly?
All right, I'll just... Oh, man, I don't know. I'm indecisive.
If it helps, I would say...
Aim for the teat!
I don't think I... I don't think you have to worry about me, if that helps.
Okay, I'll just use chill touch on one of the big people. Big, not people. Big armors.
Okay. Do you want to do the one? I'm assuming the first one is the one that kind of ran forward and tried to slam Burim. The second one is still like just came in through the doorway and is like getting ready to attack soon. Do you want to go for one of them in particular?
Which one is missing an arm?
That's the one that tried to slam Burim.
And then the other one got hit in the breastplate.
The areola.
So we're looking at like some really detailed armor. We're looking at like some very like explicitly detailed.
We know Barim's gonna probably take this.
You can see the goosebumps.
Oh yeah.
Wait.
I want to say I should go for the one that charged in.
All right.
Just because it's like it's closer to everyone to my knowledge.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. How many are there?
There's two.
I forgot.
Two.
Okay.
Okay.
Hit. Oh, I'm gonna click this and see what happens. So my hit.
Oh.
Thing.
17.
I rolled a 17.
So you go in for that. Looks like it was a chill touch.
But yeah. So there's I think it's a spectral. Skeleton hand or something, or I have to read it again, but
finely detailed animated armor was just detailed just enough in that area that you went for the chill touch that it did not penetrate through, unfortunately.
I think it materializes within the creature, though.
I'd say there's some magical aura preventing that kind of infiltration.
What good is a ghost hand? Okay.
In response, the armor that is in the back that has damage to the chest area is going to come in and try to slam you now, Reticent, because it did kind of like one of these with its... like that, and he's definitely telling you, like, hey, hands off, and going in. So it's going to go in for a slam attack here. What is your AC?
16.
Oh my god. Reticent, the suit of armor that just came charging in just got a critical hit on you.
I ring the bell. It's my own fault.
Critical. Critical damage. Sounds bad.
It's bad. Is it in this edition, Brim? Is it just the max possible, or is it?
The exact ruling is you double the amount of dice rolled.
Oh.
So if the attack did 1d6, instead you roll 2d6. Plus whatever modifiers it has. The modifiers don't double, just the dice.
Okay. Oh boy. Reticent, you're taking 10 damage here of bludgeoning damage. This is a potent slam. Like Macho Man Randy Savage slam.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh no.
And then the animated suit of armor does get two attacks here, so it is going to go for Barim. And I do like a little, like, I guess this is still, wrestling, so it's going to go for, like, the double team on Barim now.
Barim, I think I gave you a bardic inspiration before we enter this place.
All right.
If I remember correctly.
Cool. Those are D6s, right?
Yep.
Okay. Barim, I think... If you're 21, right? It was your AC?
Yeah.
You just hear like a clang of the fist, and it's like the animated armor's fist is like shaking, but it definitely didn't hurt you. Again, it was like a, huh? What was that? Huh?
I have a shield that's just bigger than me on that side, and he just punched it.
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
next up.
Burbs just covered in shields.
Yeah.
Are you okay, Reticent?
Are you conscious?
Yeah, I'm hurt, but okay. I'm alive.
Okay, okay.
Are you hurt or are you injured?
Gravely or mortally?
It's just a flesh wound?
I'm going to go with gravely.
Tis only a flesh wound.
Injured.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Well, not good. Here's the good news. Brim's up next.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So they're both right next to me, right?
Yeah.
Okie dokie. I'm going to use my bonus action to cast Searing Smite to light my hammer on fire.
Uh-oh, somebody called a firefighter. Again.
Yeah. And then I'm going to hit the one that hit Reticent.
All right.
Nineteen to hit.
You're smashing through its you're smashing through some armor here.
Nice. So that's 1d8 and then this
is that descriptive enough, Arya?
No, because if he's smashing the armor, so like which part? So like if it's animated armor, are the legs still working?
Oh yeah.
Like the top part is now demolished. But the legs can still work?
Oh, well, nobody's hit the legs yet. I think this is definitely like a skull smash. Like,
oh, yeah. This is like sending the helmet down through the chest of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but that means that now there's no head.
Yeah.
So is it directionless?
It's magic.
Obviously, it's not sentient and it's animated, so we got that covered, homie. What I'm saying is, like, I feel like there needs to be some way to anticipate what happens when if part of this animated armor is dissembled.
That's true. We'll see.
So I hit for 7 damage.
Ooh, okay.
And it is on fire. I don't know if it can even be on fire, but
yeah, it can definitely be on fire.
It's on fire.
We might have to call the fire department again. Okay.
This is all really working well for my NBA basketball thing that's going on in my head.
Next up is Sedaima.
Well, we're just like taking turns fighting it?
Yeah. The two of them.
Okay.
The two suits of armor.
Now, what does it mean?
No one's tried to talk to it yet.
It's true.
I know. We just fight everything.
That's because Datari said, we're not dialoguing. And Laz was like, yes, we're not dialoguing.
So what are my options?
If you'd like, I believe that you could, I think you could do your druid form and change it to some sort of animal. You could take a swing.
Oh, myself.
You might have some spells that could help you here.
Mending, mold,
you could check your languages to see if you can speak to whatever type of creature an armor animated armor.
Unless it's a gnome. I don't think it's a gnome under there. Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and turn it into an animal.
Okay.
Seems like the best thing to do right now.
It seems badass.
So you what
can,
is that?
You can use that as your action. So you're just going to go ahead and click on that thing, the wild shape. So you'll keep track of how many times
where
you can do
that?
It. Two times before a short rest. It's your...
Why can't I find this?
Actions and then all?
Actions. All.
So you're able to wild shape into...
Oh, there it is.
A creature that... cannot fly, and then what is it? Can't be like basically it
can't
has to be
swim.
A land. Yeah, can't swim, can't fly.
Yeah.
Is there a particular beast that you would in like to assume?
Squirrel.
Velociraptor.
Squirrel.
Squirrel? Okay.
What?
Have you seen their like they are the most acrobatic creatures ever.
It's true.
Like they can land from such a crazy height.
It's true.
I guess you could like slither into a costume too. Not a costume.
Yeah, I'm just out. I'm like done with all these fightings. I'm just like I'm gonna turn into a squirrel.
I meant like you could jump now because Baron said that the head is now shoved down into the armor. So you could like jump into the armor from the top and like wreak some havoc on whatever. I don't know.
I could do that. So if that's my move, how do I like there's two little boxes next to it?
Yeah,
do
you'll just tick to one because you can wild shape one more time before you have to take a short rest. But
oh, I see.
You can so that's your action. So you could wild shape into the squirrel, and if you wanted to, you could go try and do a move and maybe a little acrobatics check to see if you hop into this headless suit of armor.
I don't really want to fight it. I guess I have to.
You don't have to. It's up to you.
Those are always these options.
Fighting, it rushed in. They rushed into the room, ready to fight. From that, that's the problem. Is they didn't even give us a chance to talk. They just came in swinging.
I know. And then our response is to meet them with what they've met us with. How it goes.
Yes. That's the
so
cycle of violence.
Yes.
Yep.
You know
what would my thing be?
I'd say just do a little acrobatics check here. And I'll
is that where like I roll for that?
Yeah. And
okay.
You're a squirrel. You're right.
17.
I think you very quickly like all in one move you start running like wild shape into a squirrel and just probably jump off of Barim and into the suit of armor. So you're definitely inside this. One of the suits of armor here.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have to be careful hitting that one.
So
I don't know why this.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. So next. So that was your move and action. So next turn you can begin tearing from the inside, or whatever you want to do. I don't know.
Tearing from the inside. Oh my god.
Maybe
yeah,
they're gonna.
That won't be what I do.
Maybe they're gonna unwild shape and wear the suit of armor. Who knows?
Not a bad
maybe thing. Wild shape into a beast that is larger than a suit of armor to make the armor just explode everywhere
again. Yeah. Velociraptor.
Yeah.
If I just have to have seen it twice.
Datari, you're up next.
Okay. Oh wait, I wanted to ask, what does the mushroom staff do when you wild shape, or because it has a it has its own willpower. What does it do? Does it have its own
dances a jig
initiative? Does it
right? Like, does it just drop to the ground?
You can,
or like...
you can choose. You can choose whether your equipment falls to the ground in your space, or it merges into your new form, or it's worn by it. Like, what? That's kind of the options you get there. So, what
maybe
do you?
Maybe it all just
think?
Like shrinks.
So, you, are you like a squirrel with a tiny mushroom staff?
I guess.
You.
And like my backpack and stuff.
That's kind of neat. I like that.
Okay. That's I like to keep cute. It all with me.
It's very Pixar.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
All right.
What kind of creature is this? Can I do like a check for that? To see what kind of...
That'd be a good idea. See what it is.
Yeah.
Brim, what would you recommend here?
For what?
To check what kind of creature this is? To know? Some type of insight or... Arcana, wisdom?
Yeah, definitely be an arcana because it's not like a natural creature. It's a magical thing. Mm.
Yeah.
All right, let me do a quick check.
Okay.
13 Arcana.
This is a normal suit of like full suit of armor, and just the normal full suit of armor that's been magically animated. It has a lot of immunities because it's really just the a suit of metal armor. So for example, you can't like charm it, you can't deafen it, you can't frighten it, etc. But you do know, since this is a animated magical suit of armor, that if you happen to maybe target it with some sort of anti-magic field or dispel magic, you might be able to destroy the magic that's keeping it moving.
Okay.
I didn't want to
remove
say sentient.
Remove its life force.
I didn't want to say sentient. I didn't want to say sentient. No.
Rip the life force from it.
It just keeps getting worse.
Oh. You can cut it. You can cut its strings. There are no strings on me.
I like that. I am first going to perform another bardic inspiration move onto Reticent. Give him that extra d6. And that's just a bonus action, so I'm just gonna do that first just so I don't forget.
Okay.
I'm trying to picture it. So I know like I was kind of like center, mm-hmm. right? And then Barum is up next to one of them, and Reticent was also close to that same one, right?
Yeah.
And then Arya, you were slightly back, right? Because you were doing your magic missile thing.
Yeah, sure.
And then Zadama, you're inside another one.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to move step towards the suit of armor that Sudema is not inside of. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to take a swing at it. I'm just going to take a swing with my loot axe of mourning.
Okay.
And also while I do that, I'm going to be like, how rude. And so just,
yeah. Like really let them know how you feel.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I got
they'll
21.
Be like the same to you.
That's a 20.
They like sign
21.
It out.
21. Let's
21
go.
To hit. Yeah. And for damage, let's see.
Did you roll a 20 or just you got a 21?
I got 21 for okay. for hit.
You
DC. And then
your axe is like
two.
Going like straight through this armor right now.
With just a 2, I only got a 2 for damage. So it feels very small.
like it definitely is just like yeah.
So it's like the performance-wise, I was like, yeah, and I connected, but then like,
mm-hmm. Why do you roll twice? Through. Why do you roll once for... What does a 21 mean?
It's to see if you hit the creature.
Yeah, that you roll your... First you roll to hit. You didn't have to because magic missile like just automatically hits. So you skip roll. You just have to roll damage.
Yeah. It's like if I understand it correctly, it's the first roll to hit, especially if it's a melee weapon, you're checking to see like your physical abilities, like you're kind of checking to see like how well you did with just the action of going to hit something, and then the damage roll is for the damage.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yep. So oh, yeah. You definitely connected, but you know, it is a magical entity, so. It seemed that you were only able to do a little bit of damage to this animated suit of armor. But this takes us to the next round, round two of combat, and it goes back to Aria.
So, so now I get to do whatever I want. So I could do magic missile again?
Yes. You still have two slots, yeah.
Yep. Okay, so I'll cast that one.
Did you want to split it up again? Or how did you...
No, I don't want to shoot it at the one that Sadame is in.
Okay. So just all three.
Yep, all three go to the one that that Tatari very emphatically went after, but then maybe might not have hurt quite so much.
Okay.
Okay. A 5.
Ooh, okay.
And then... 4.
Oh boy.
And then a 4.
I like it.
Oh yeah, that's
so he got 3 missiles straight to the groin.
Yeah.
Straight to the groin.
There's just a giant giant hole where the groin used to be. There's no armor there now. It is unprotected in the groin. Okay. So a very excellent 3 shots there. That suit of armor like turns to you, Aria, looks down at its groin, looks back up at you, and is going to try to hop
run
along.
The other way.
Oh. Hop along and make a attack at you.
Sweet.
What is your AC?
I don't know where you find that.
There you go. It's in the top middle. I see it.
Oh, 10. Armor class is 10.
It does get to slam into you. And it does 5 damage. So it definitely pushes you away in a very painful manner, I guess.
Ow.
Yeah, that's about right. So, and then for its second melee...
These things are tough.
Are you, Tatari, are you at all anywhere nearby? Aria? I guess you would be, huh? So this is the one that doesn't have Sadama in it. So technically you would have got an opportunity attack against this one.
So it has groin and no arm.
Yes.
I would get, they're right.
So go ahead.
Because it would have to move past me because I walked up to it, or I went up to hit it, so it was next to me, and then it went around me to go after it. Yep.
That's right.
So what?
And I guess Barim, you would too, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I was next to both of them because they both tried to hit me.
Okay, so
I feel like this one should not have use of its legs at this point.
Double team.
Whatever.
Barim, double team on the legs.
Okay. Let's see if this even. We'll have to see 100%. If this even is able to go slam. Over there. So go ahead and both of you get attack as it tries to run past you.
Okay, I got 14 for hit roll.
You hit the armor, but it wasn't able to, or you missed, I should say.
I missed, damn it.
Yeah.
Okay. I also got a 14.
Yeah, it somehow easily dodged both of you hit. So it did slam into Aria, and it's going to go for its second attack, I guess, against Aria as well. It didn't like the groin shots.
Oh, wait. I don't know. Can I use my inspiration? Can I go?
Sure.
Back? Okay. I'm going to use it and roll again for that hit.
He's inspired.
I got a B. I got 23.
Ooh.
Yes.
Nice. And okay.
He's for sure down.
Here we go.
Okay.
Damage 10.
Oh.
Crit. It says crit.
Oh shoot. Okay. So, as it was trying to make its way over to slam Arya, you definitely were able to like clothesline it, I guess, with your loot of mourning, loot axe of mourning. So it's it too doesn't have, or did you aim for its legs?
I was aiming for the legs.
Okay, you definitely knocked one of the legs off, like completely. It's gone.
Yes.
This thing is just hobbling along, which means I don't think it'd be able to slam. So ignore that attack. I think it's. I'm gonna do a little roll here to see. Yeah, I rolled a 2. Okay, I think this thing went prone. As it would try if it as it took the hit, the impact, and then fell to the ground, unable to really stand on one leg here. So, ignore that slam attack, Arya.
Okay, I don't know what I would have done with that anyway. But okay.
Yeah. All right. Next up is Reticent.
Oh, I would have put in damage. My bad, but I didn't, so I didn't worry about it now, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I think I'm just going to use one of my spell slots.
All right.
And I'm going to do False Life, which is I do it to myself. Well, actually, first, sorry. What was the D6 you gave me, Datari, with the...
The Bardic Inspiration.
Yeah.
So let's see. I figure out how. You have your so it's added to your ability check, attack roll, or saving throw.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to have. Okay, yeah. I'll just do False Life then. Which just gives me temporary health.
Okay.
For an hour, it says.
Ooh. I like that. False Life for an hour.
Hmm. It says verbal somatic. Is that the word? Somatic.
Yeah.
So you know, little medallion thing. A little 3-dot motion, and mm-hmm. I think I just outright say something about Talona. Be like, Talona, help me! Like I'm just. Not feeling too great, so I think I'm kind of throwing away caution to the
okay.
So then it is, I'll just roll this 1d4 plus 4 temporary, nice. So 6.
Talona has granted you some brief false life for an hour.
Yes, my child.
And I guess I would. I don't really know exactly the visual where we are, where everything is. But I would probably move kind of away from danger best I could.
Okay. Maybe move over towards like. I think Arya is probably the person who's furthest away from the combat, just because she's been doing groin shots.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go.
Okay.
That direction.
Okay, that sounds good. Next up is the animated armor with Sudema in it, and I'm gonna say that what it does is it is gonna take a swing at Barim, and then afterwards it's gonna be like struggling because there's a squirrel inside of it. And it's trying to figure out what to do, so it won't make its second attack. It'll just make one. So here's the attack against Barim. It hits you, Barim, for Oof. 6 damage.
Okey-doke. My shield has extra plating, so I take 1 less damage.
Oh, nice. Okay. And then you're actually up next as it's, like, struggling. Like, this headless suit of armor is just like,
Just remember there's a squirrel in there.
It's true.
Okay.
Careful with the squirrel.
I will try to hit it where there is not a squirrel.
I feel like the legs are a good place to attack these creatures. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll swing for the legs.
All right.
20 to hit total.
You're going through the legs. You made connection.
Woo!
Is in the back saying, shoot the Jay, shoot.
Is it still on fire? You're,
at the start of its turn, it would need to make, what is it, a con save?
Ah, okay.
Yeah. If it fails the con save.
Yes.
Of 12.
Yes, it did.
Okay. It takes 1d6 fire damage. So okay. I'll roll that.
Okay.
So it's on. I rolled a 4.
Wait, so can I just clarify this here? For everybody and the listeners, there's Sudema now turned into a squirrel who just bravely, courageously jumped into a suit of armor that's on fire?
It was already on fire?
I thought the other one was on fire.
No, because the one that I bopped the head in with was the one I set on fire.
Oh, and that's the one that Sudema jumped into.
What a courageous squirrel.
Wow.
Why'd I jump into that one?
It didn't have a head.
Yeah, it didn't have a head.
It was right. It was your option.
Right. Okay.
Well, my current hit did 3 + 1, I think. 4 damage.
Nice. Yes, you definitely knocked the leg off of this one. And I would say it's not prone, but... Oh, let me roll this.
It's just hopping around now on one armored leg.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. It's definitely still standing, but just barely, really. And it's just on one leg. And it's still struggling with the squirrel inside of it. And it's on fire, too, apparently. There's a lot going on.
Does the fire affect the squirrel?
Sudema's fine.
Is Sudema being cooked?
Sudema's fine.
Okay.
She's inside. The outside of the armor is on fire. The inside of the armor is just warm and cozy, really.
Yeah, it's and you know what, Sudema, it's your turn. You tell us what's going on.
So like I haven't been hurting it. I feel like everyone's assuming I've been like fighting and attacking it. I've just been trying to like
understand it.
Like tickle is the wrong word. I've been trying to just like you can imagine if you're trying to hit someone and there's like a squirrel running all over your limbs, yeah. You like get very distracted and have trouble. So I've just been trying to like totally defensive mode, keep it from hurting everybody. So I'm just like getting kind of tired running all around with my little backpack in there. But I think I'm trying to hold it off for you all. Mm. Oh, so my action, that's not an action, is it? Run inside a suit of armor haphazardly.
I think it could
grapple
be right.
Is grapple sort of like that?
You know what? I would say that
improvise.
Yeah, if you wanted to, I could imagine a situation where a very clever, talented druid in squirrel form could potentially grapple one of the hands of from within the suit of armor, perhaps trying to control a specific limb or appendage.
Okay.
Yeah,
just like that. My goal is that it's just like flailing and not able to like carry out a movement.
Okay.
So it's like, so you're like trying to do the whole like, stop hitting yourself, stop hitting yourself.
Yeah.
Love it. Yes.
My brother used to do that so much. Why are you hitting yourself?
Yeah.
So did you want to go ahead and do that? We'll make it attack its own self?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's not really like hurting itself. It's just like unable to. Mm. It's like when you.
Sudema, it's like not in the cartoons. Sentient. It's okay. You're just trying to deconstruct. It's like a deconstructed piece of armor at this point. So it's okay. You're not hurting it. You're just trying to like put it at ease.
It is hurting us though.
It is hurting us.
Right, because we barged into its home and assumed that it was not sentient and started fucking attacking it. So,
well, I need a cure for this disease.
So. I know. It's like a cartoon when, you know, they put like the ants down someone's pants and the person's just like, ah, like that's me.
Yeah, like a cartoon or that one time at camp.
That one time.
Okay, I would say, why don't,
so
you,
I don't know.
Why don't you go, yeah, why don't you make like a grapple and I could easily imagine you'd what be thwarting that? its actions and intentions from within, okay, instead of being a so cruel, cruel person like the rest of these characters, hurting this sort of armor in their own home.
Cruelty is my specialty.
Your words, not mine. So what do I do? Like, what do I roll?
I'm going to say... probably a dexterity check here because with advantage. So you can roll two and pick the highest because you're a squirrel. You're acrobatic as fuck. That's what squirrels are.
Eight.
Okay.
Hopefully higher than eight. And six. Yay. Oh. We'll go with eight.
I don't think that'd be enough. Yeah, I'm not... don't think that would be enough this time, unfortunately.
I don't know what this means.
Yeah, I think that it's kind of struggling against you, but is still able to kind of like do what it wants to do. But I think you are continuing to contribute to it being unable to fight to maximum efficiency, especially because it's only on one leg as well. So,
yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I tried.
It's okay. Next time. Datari, you're up next.
All right. Okay, so it's okay. I don't know what to do. I guess I could just swim.
There's a prone suit of armor that's very badly damaged near you, and then there's the one that Sudema's in that's also on fire and only has one leg.
Okay. I'm gonna target the prone one.
Why?
That's cruel.
Because
it can't attack anybody. It's prone on the ground.
It'll take a full action, like a whole action to get unprone.
It only takes half your move to stand up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it could stand up and hit people again.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any legs.
It has one leg.
It can roll.
Did I knock both the legs off? I forgot. I thought I just got one.
I think it was only one because Barim missed the other one.
But it's still going to get up and try to get us. Probably. And I think at this point, like, the Tatar is just like, I have a disease that I'm trying to cure. And I know, like, I'm pissed. I'm just like, I don't want this mess anymore. I'm tired. So, Tara's just gonna be like, I didn't come all the way through this fucking snow just to die here from this animated, unconscious, unsentient piece of hunk of metal, and then I'm gonna swing for its head with the loop axe.
Okay. Oh.
That's a five.
Nice.
your anger has made you. Has
made Is that you like sloppy. A full miss? Like, That's does he like just hit the ground next to the head?
Basically. Yeah. Even the armor kind of did like a shrug because it knew like this is the end, this is it. And then it opened its non-existent eyes and was just like, oh, all right, okay.
Were you swinging on the prone one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Does he get advantage?
Yeah, because it's laying on the ground.
Oh, okay, nice. Cool.
Okay. Here we go.
Oh.
Here we go, boys. I got a four.
It was even worse.
Oh.
Nice.
Just too much anger.
All right.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a miss. Okay. Round three of the combat. Arya. You're up.
Okay, so hold on a second.
what do I have to look like at equipment? Like, I can cast a spell if I want, right?
Yeah. You still, I think you still have like another slot that you grab.
I do.
To. Yeah.
But we don't know what else we're going to see today. And I don't know how long it's going to be till I rest.
You can.
Yeah.
Is it, Brim, is it after a short rest you get your spell slots back, or is it long rest? Do you remember? I think it's long rest, right?
Brim. Mine says, for my bardic inspiration, it says long rest next to mine.
Okay. Hey, Brim.
Huh?
When do you, is it short rest or long rest when you get your spell slots back? It's long rest, huh?
It depends on your class.
For a wizard?
A wizard is long rest.
Ah, okay. Well, you always could take a long rest, too.
They wizards get one, a thing called arcane recovery on a short rest. They can get one spell slot back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like, can I take a crowbar to this guy? Or
sure.
Can you not use a crowbar as a weapon?
No, that's okay. I think that would probably do more damage than your dagger. Yeah.
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 Okay, so. All right, what do I do with a crowbar?
Let's see. Go ahead and roll a d20. And.
10.
Strike. No, I don't. I think even with. Any bonuses here? I think that this, it's a miss.
The one that's toddling? I was going for the one that's toddling.
Oh, wait, you can roll another one to see, because you get advantage against a prone.
Oh, no, not the one on the ground. The one that's still, like, hopping around on one leg.
The one that Sadama's in?
Yeah, I was going for its leg.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think it would still be a miss.
Sorry, buddies.
It's okay.
We all have our moments.
The suit of armor that was prone is going to do a whatever getting up means when you don't when you're in that situation that it's in, and it's going to roll over and try and take a swing at Datari. Let's see.
Expect this much.
Yeah.
If it's still on the ground, it has disappeared.
I'm gonna like, okay. Be like, like, I didn't mean it.
it also incredibly failed to hit you. It definitely missed as well.
Aha, sucked on that. I tell it.
Okay, Redisit, you're up next.
Smooth.
All right. Okay. There's no one else. I mean, Brim got hit, but no one else got hit. Correct? Or am I wrong?
Yeah. That's right.
Okay. So I'm kind of in the back. Who's which armor is closest? The one on the ground or the other one?
The prone one.
On the ground. But could I use my full move and get to a different one?
Yeah.
Or the other one?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Well, Sedema's in that, so maybe that's not a good idea. I don't know. I was going to potentially... I mean, sure. Okay, I'll swing my mace at the fallen one. And then what I was contemplating was if I want to use my channel divinity with whatever it's called that I don't remember. If I find it.
Turn the undead.
Touch of death, where I get bonus damage.
Oh. I will tell you that the one that's prone is... the armor is it's cracked and very, very broken, to say the least. and it's missing a leg.
Okay, I'll just swing normally. It's fine.
Okay.
And then hope for
a roll with advantage.
Hope for a crit or something. And I get advantage?
Yeah.
What is that, another roll, or I thought it was just a plus five?
No, that's it's another roll. Like you roll two, choose the highest.
Oh, it's not? What's okay. I thought it was a plus five.
But it might be. Is that fourth edition? I don't know.
Well, I got 19.
Well, you definitely hit it.
Very nice.
So, yeah, it's on the ground. That one's missing its head? Or the other one? Are they both missing their head?
Yeah, the other one missing its head.
Okay, then I just bonk it on the...
Bonk. Bonk. Right in the head. Right to the dome, as the kids say.
And then I do four.
That was it. The
perfect.
Any energy that was left in the animated suit of armor is gone, and the armor is just armor now.
Well, is there like a graph? Are you like referencing some sort of like, or do you just get to choose, Laz?
It's a secret.
I'll tell you from my familiarity.
No.
Thank you.
No.
Ridiculous how much crap you have to do as the DM.
Yep.
He's got like three spreadsheets in front of him. It's like the Minority Report over there.
That made me feel better. But him saying it's a secret just makes me want to take a crowbar. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not feeling that violent.
Information needs to be free.
Yeah, for real. I thought this was an open source game.
No, absolutely not.
the suit of armor that Sudama is inside is now going to try to make an attack against Burim again. Though there's a squirrel inside that's kind of making it challenging. So let's go ahead and see. Going against Burim here. No, it's a miss, and it is distracted again and unable to make its full attacks.
Nice work, Sudama.
Those pesky squirrels. Burim, you're up next.
I'm going to whack it.
All right. Whack it. Oh, I think it has to roll for its fire thing, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Did it beat a 12?
No, it did not.
Oh, then it takes 4 fire damage from being on fire. Ooh, and then I rolled a 16 plus 3, so 19 to hit.
You hit its other leg. You artfully did so that a squirrel would never be hurt by this.
4 damage.
That was it. The armor comes crumbling down, and very easily and acrobatically, a druid squirrel named Sudama bloop, pops out safe and sound. The energy from this suit of armor fades away as well.
Excellent.
Once the thread is gone, I'm just like throwing the pieces of armor in my backpack.
Yeah.
I'm helping you. I'm helping you to collect all
that. I was thinking this is all just to reduce the suits to bits so Barum can just pick them up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Makes it easier to carry.
Yeah.
Recycle, reuse.
Don't forget reduce.
And reduce. We definitely reduce.
Reduce, recycle, and reuse.
That's true.
We reduce their HP to 0.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and just read the room that you're all are in. Just again, just so you remember. So this is you're in the entrance chamber here. I guess I could share this screen. So this is the room that you're in. You're still in. If you can see where my mouse is right here. The heavy stone walls of this room dampen the cold and howling wind outside. An inscription in what looks like draconic runes is carved into the east wall, which you did find out to say, "Do not touch anything without permission. Welcome to Sousavald. Visitors, please wait here for an escort." And there is a locked door right here. and a slightly ajar. Well, I guess this would be no, I'd say the suits of armor that as they ran through, they also put it back to slightly ajar because they were, you know, it's their home. So there's a slightly ajar door here, and there's a locked door over here.
Hmm.
I think our only option is the ajar door, really. Unless somebody can pick the lock.
Could always try smashing it as well. Or pushing it open, I don't know.
I mean, we might as well try the ajar one.
Okay.
Is what that people the, think?
The direction y'all want to go? Oh, I think Datari took a step away real quick. How about you all decide and I'll step away just for 1 minute too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'll be right back. Okay. Y'all can think about which direction you want to go.
So I see an anvil in that top left room. What are the chances he lets me? How heavy is an anvil?
Very.
Okay. I'm back. Are the other people gone?
Yeah.
I'm our personally DM's interested gone. In whatever the bottom left room is. It looks like.
Looks like a dining room.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I thought it was maybe like a lab or something.
Oh, that could be true. Yeah, that would make a lot more sense than a dining room.
I think the room to the right looks like the kitchen. So I think.
Oh yeah, with all the pots and pans on the floor. Yeah,
the lab is definitely where I would want to go. But I want to check all these rooms because all these rooms probably have sweet loot.
Yeah.
Can Datari, well, you're a bard. I guess I was thinking more of a rogue, but can you pick locks at all? I guess I don't even know what you need to do, what skill you use.
I'm looking for a very, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, looking for a very particular item.
All right. So.
What kind of item?
So. Can I talk about what I know now, Laz, or can I, sure. should I wait?
Sure.
Okay, so
you do you.
I'm specifically looking for volcanic ash from the nearby volcano. Dun, dun. Because I know that that's an element of the cure. Dun,
dun. Oh. Well, we could go there after. I'm assuming.
Well, I'm wondering if some of these things in here could be that. Like, there's a huge pile of something in that one room over to the right.
I think that most of the piles of stuff are just rubble. But maybe in the lab, they might have been studying that, too.
I was going to say that if it isn't here, there's a high probability that it's in the lab. Because that's where they would be using it, right? To make the antidote?
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Well, I mean, if he found the frigid woe here, though, why would we think that they're making antidote also?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. What do we know about the lab?
Why does it exist?
Yeah, like, what do we know? We didn't ask, did we? We didn't ask, who was it? Dankmaster?
I don't think so.
Did you say Dankmaster?
Danktronic? Danktron?
Danktron!
That's his name!
Yo, yo.
What was his name? I wrote it down somewhere.
Think Orvo? Was that his name?
Orvo Dankmaster?
Yeah,
Orvo Dankmaster, yeah.
Orvo.
I didn't ask him that. So we don't know what's up in this lab.
Also, we're assuming that it's a lab. We don't really know yet.
Right.
If it is a lab.
I thought it was called the Sassaval Arcane Laboratory.
Oh, okay. I don't pay attention.
Well, according to my notes here.
What can you tell us about the lab, Dungeon Master?
This is a ancient arcane lab where many Many a wizard has created things far into the past, and it seems to be the case that the Frigid Woe was designed here. There was rumors of great treasure, and hence why Birdfucker and Orvo tag-teamed this place, and Orvo was like, cool, have fun, and Birdfucker's like, I'm going back to the village. And then all that stuff happened, and now you're here.
If I was, like, creating a disease to hurt people, I'd want to create an antidote just in case I got it myself. So maybe they have some here.
That's true. Possible.
Yeah, this is as far as, oh, we know we need the ash. So if we don't find the ash in this building, we can go out to the volcano. Mm-hmm. Which is how far away from us?
I think it's in the backyard. We'll say it's in the backyard.
Oh, okay.
It's in the back. We're in the backyard of a volcano.
Backyard.
Behind and it.
Of like so this all of this. So all this water that's coming in to the laboratory.
Is that the backyard?
Is like the lake at the base of the volcano.
You know this place.
Yeah, aren't we partially submerged?
You all know this place. That's correct. It is at a slight tilt. It's some of it's underwater, or I should say it's in the water. And yeah, there's a volcano nearby. And I would say it's the backyard. I'd say like Iowa, Idaho, Montana backyard, if you know what I mean. Like, you know, acres of land.
It's part of the property.
Like if you walked out the back door, you could see the volcano.
Yeah. You'd probably have to do like at least a 2-part film with a bunch of, I would assume, halflings and make a 3 to 6 hour movie trip to the mountain in which you might throw a ring, but who knows?
Jesus.
It wouldn't be simple though, because you can't just walk there.
Well, you could, but it might take a while.
I mean, you can't just simply walk there.
Yeah.
One does not simply walk to the volcano.
So, would you like to head west into the door ajar, or perhaps I'll just open the locked door?
Yeah. I'm just going to open the ajar door.
All right. Stone tables lie in pieces on the floor at the east end of this room. Two open stone chests stand against the west wall. A layer of fine sand coats the inside of the chests and the floor around them.
Before we open these chests, before we just rush to open these chests, let me use what do I have? My unseen servant. Oh, it uses a spell slot. Never mind.
Did he say that the chests were open?
Are they open?
Yes. These are two open stone chests.
Oh, I think that Mr. Birdlover may have come through here.
Would you, everybody go ahead and make a perception check here.
Not good at that.
Okay, to 7.
Actually, I'm okay with it. Okay. 12.
Okay.
20.
Okay.
11.
All right.
Hold on a second. I can't get out of this. There we go. Exit full screen.
Oh, yeah. I hate that on Zoom when that happens. Sorry.
Which one do I roll?
The perception.
So I just roll a d20 and then add whatever perception?
Yeah.
Extra. Oh, I don't have any extra.
So quite a few of you do notice that there are two sets of dwarf-sized boot prints, probably from Orvo and Birdfucker. In and around, not in, but around, you know, into the chest. Because there's sand, kind of a fine coat of sand on the floor, and so you can definitely tell like two probably dwarf-sized folks had been here at a prior time. There's a Oh, you can see on this map. There's a door to the west, and there's also back to that. We'll just do this here. Back to this, the first room, we'll call it.
And then, all the stuff at the bottom of that second room, that's just rubble? Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's mostly just rubble. Yeah, that's about it, really.
Are there any inscriptions on the walls?
You don't see anything. Yeah, you don't notice anything. You do, and you did kind of notice this going into this place, but the walls, the doors, there's definitely like a magical aura going on everywhere, the whole architecture of this place.
Okay. Arya, do you have a way of checking to see, because I mean, the checking to see what the what's up with the magic?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. I don't know if that would be the identify ritual.
Brim, what do you think?
For what?
What do you think on casting identify? Basically, in the architecture of this place, to understand this magical aura more,
like touch the build, to like touch a wall.
Or is it Arcana?
Maybe that's more of a detect magic spell. You think?
Yeah, identify is for items.
Okay, that's. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
An item or an object, not like a a place. If you wanted to see the magic of like a place. That would be more of a detect magic thing, yeah.
Okay. So did you all want to keep doing stuff in this room, or did you want to continue heading west or back to the first room? Where would you like to go?
I don't see anything else in here, right? We have those two chests that have already been rummaged through. Although I'm a bit nervous to open the other door because of the weird magic aura, but I feel like we don't really have a choice and we kind of just have to see what happens.
If somebody's like looking around at stonework, I'll come over and take a look and look at it.
I think I'm gonna go up to that door and just press my ear against it to see if I hear anything.
Okay, go ahead and do I guess perception.
Okay. The 22.
You kind of hear like some very very faint like scratching and slight groaning noises.
Don't like that, but but I have confidence that we could take whatever sort of creature is behind there if we need to. Or wait,
dude, Burim, you'll probably be the one to maybe keep an eye on this too. But if folks need to do a short or long rest, I don't know if. That's also a thing to keep in mind too.
How does it work when I'm? You said that I'm allowed to learn spells when I feel like it because I'm a wizard. Or how does that work?
After you take a long rest, you can choose what spells you want to prepare for the day.
Okay.
So like, imagine it's like a book, but you're not like reading out of the book in combat. You're like doing it from memory. So when you wake up in the morning, you read from the book to. Remember them, so you choose which ones you like are prepared for.
Okay.
I was gonna take a look at the stone and use my dwarven stone cunning to learn about the history of this place.
This whole place has a feeling of not being of this world. As if like you've never seen anything local, or. Basically of this kind of world, like the cuts, the styles, this is something so unique you've never seen before. Something as if it was not even from this planet. But otherwise, it's got smooth features, really nice straight angles, 90 degrees. Coarse stone, really nice hinges, you know.
Like brutalist style culture or style architecture?
It's in between cubism and
Dadaism?
Yeah, Dadaism, yeah.
Dadaism.
With a just like a tiny drop of like modern avant-garde.
Dang.
Yeah, so it's pretty sweet.
Fancy.
I can respect it, but I prefer Dwarven.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is it's okay. It's
all right. I was going to check something. Oh, I was going to ask Sedema. Is it possible for the mushroom staff, since it can change shape, right?
Yeah, I guess so, since it shrunk.
Can it, like, go through the cracks of the door and, like, peek through the door?
Oh,
so that's a good question. Are you still a squirrel right now?
Oh, yeah, are you still a squirrel?
Yeah, for a whole hour.
Okay.
I don't think it's been more than an hour.
I think you'd be able to, like, squeeze the staff under. I don't think you yourself would be able to get under, but I think you could definitely, like, squeeze the staff under. It's a small.
Well, could she change herself again? Because she can change herself one more time, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, to a different animal?
Yes.
So maybe I could be something super small?
Sure.
Okay, like an ant?
I think that you could, being an ant would still be a tight squeeze, but I think you could fit.
Okay.
So you wild form into an ant. And did you want to like go underneath the door and peek through?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it.
Does Sedema still have a little backpack as an ant?
Yes.
Oh, a tiny, tiny backpack.
Yeah.
On the thorax? Is that where an ant stores a backpack?
Yeah.
So from your perspective, being an ant, you know, on the floor in this next room here, you see that there's pieces of like rusty plate armor scattered throughout this chamber amid the rubble of a destroyed stone furniture. There's an anvil that's built into the floor and it stands in front of a cold furnace to the southwest. However, across the room from the furnace, there's two humanoid feet sticking out from a pile of rubble. And you can remember how you, Datari had heard like, kind of some faint scratching and groaning. This humanoid is scratching. You can only see its feet from your angle, but it's kind of scratching at the ground and going.
Can't she walk over there? Why? What's stopping her from like walking over to and exploring more?
Would you like to do that? Take a couple minutes because you are an ant.
We wait.
And for ant's gonna do. Ant's gonna do what ant's gonna do.
So you ant your way over, and it's there is a zombie that's been restrained beneath a bunch of rubble, and it's unable to get free. It doesn't notice you because, well, you're an ant, and hasn't noticed you yet. But it's trying to kind of get its way out. It's scratching its way. You notice it's wearing like a blacksmith apron, and on it are very, very fancy, eloquent blacksmith tools. But it's just kind of clawing away and like,
What did you say was in the middle of the room?
I'd say that
like all that Derritus there is, what is that?
I would say it's just a bunch of rubble. They're kind of the zombie is kind of in that, that area of the room where all the rubble is. But there's some destroyed stone furniture and there's an anvil built into the floor near a cold furnace. in the southwest corner of the room, right here. So I think the zombie's like probably right here.
I think Datar is shouting from the other side. So is it safe to open? Hello?
I don't know.
She's dead.
Am I just supposed to like report back? So how do we know it's a zombie?
That's a good point. You definitely see that this is like a humanoid that's been here a very long time. And it is how should I say, it's not all of its skin might be there. What it's wearing is probably a little moldy. You're an ant. I'm assuming that ants can smell and probably really smell things that we humans can't. And it's quite
pungent.
Pungent, thank you. And yeah, it's definitely a zombie.
Okay. Like, are we assuming that it's evil? Because I don't want to just like jump to that. I'll just report back in detail. I won't try to give judgments. I'll just say, so everybody, there's a humanoid figure buried under rubble, and it doesn't look necessarily human because it's kind of decaying a little bit. But it's moaning, clearly in pain.
So it's a zombie, you're saying?
Well, let's immediately attack it for an hour until it's dead.
Well, we can talk to it.
I
feel like Drew Barrymore's character in Santa Clarita Diet like was an okay zombie. So I mean, I suppose that's like the only example I could think of though, where zombies didn't jump up and try to tear other people to absolute shreds. But I do appreciate
I'll send you all a cool media analysis article after this.
You said it's...
There's okay. actually a ton of cool new media that really are like a new genre of zombie, where it's more like
zombies
perspective of stuff. I can't remember the names of all of them. It's mostly books, yeah. Actually.
iZombie, She's Not a Bad Zombie, like the main character. And then there's that one movie where the guy who plays in X-Men, who plays the Beast in X-Men, he stars in that one. Mm. And he's not a bad zombie either. He just wants to be loved.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe this zombie just
wants
to be loved.
I don't know if you guys should come in.
Oh, damn. Hot damn.
Is a zombie trapped under the rubble? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Like it's not able. And it looks like they can't get up. I don't think
so. I'm gonna open the door. I'm gonna open the door and just like.
Okay.
Okay.
You open the door and you can only see its feet first, like you know. It's just like it was like.
And then I'm like, hi there, hi. Hi there, and I'm pointing out my hands like, you know, like what you do for a dog to like show you're not dangerous.
Are you like still from behind or you're going to walk over to it?
Like I'm walking over, but like not too close, just kind of putting out my hands like, there, it's okay. Hey, what's up?
it does like, it. You know, like what dogs do, they do like the, you know, like they turn the head and it kind of is like, and starts to scratch at the rubble that's on its back.
Yeah, that's some rubble you got there. That looks bad. So
the zombie just kind of like, rah, rah.
Listen, zombie, you wouldn't be able to somehow tell us if you're evil or not, will you? Okay.
The zombie just kind of like stares at you and just like, and it's like trying to claw away the rubble. Wait, is Sedamus still an ant, by the way? Did someone maybe pick her up on the shoulder? Yes. Or?
I think I'm cool, like just chilling on the floor.
Okay.
I like not being seen.
Okay.
Well, that's ironic because my video is off because my Wi-Fi is bad. But so yeah, let's try to talk to the zombie. I like that approach.
Let's dialogue.
Okay.
I'm like standing over it with my hammer, holding my holy symbol, like it's undead.
What is Redison doing? Because Redison's a cleric too.
He's contemplating whether or not he'll need to turn undead because he can only do it once.
Mm-hmm. Undead don't belong in this world.
Wait, Redison can turn undead?
Yeah, but all that means is that they kind of like makes them unable to do something for a minute.
You just tell them to fuck off and they run away.
Yeah.
it's accurate. It's like turn away undead, not turn undead.
Yeah.
Later on, it kills them, but not.
I feel like if we shouldn't assume that the zombie is evil, then we also shouldn't assume that all the zombie can do is grunt. That feels very ableist. That feels very ableist.
Yes. We're not
does anybody speak zombie?
Does anybody have a spell to learn languages?
I don't.
Have we tried talking to it in our languages? Because I mean, it might be an elf. It might be a human. Yeah. Like,
I'm gonna try Inferno. My Inferno language.
If I had been like in a minute of empathy, like if I had been buried under rubble for like a year and was a zombie and in excruciating pain, I might like just need a minute to respond. I don't know.
I'm gonna try Inferno, I guess, just to see.
You speak to it in Infernal, but it doesn't seem to comprehend or respond when you speak to it in Infernal. Because I assume you talk to it in Common, right? At first?
We are fucking up Laz's spreadsheet so bad right now. He's like, oh, damn it.
I gotta run the spreadsheets. No.
Thwarted.
it's just a situation where we've encountered a creature. We don't speak its language. These kinds of things happen. We've made first contact.
Yes.
Patience
is key.
At least what we know now is it can't hurt us. So maybe we could just look around the room and see if there's any other information we could glean.
Well, you do notice, and you know, Sudama, you had noticed this as well. Like it has very finely crafted blacksmith tools in its apron that it's wearing, and there is a forge and an anvil nearby. Forge is not lit. It's cold.
How does Barum respond to the forge?
Is it a nice forge?
It's, again, kind of like the cubist, datist, modernist, avant-garde architecture style. It ain't dwarf, as you probably say.
Yeah, it's not my style. His tools are pretty nice, though. And by his, I mean that undead abomination that needs to leave this world.
Is your hammer still on fire? Or your axe?
No.
Okay.
There's a suits of armor in the corner, right?
No, you beat them up.
Oh, those were the armor. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you beat them up.
But it looks like that door is behind the rubble that the zombie is under. Is that true?
The zombie's in the corner.
Yeah, the rubble won't interfere with opening the next door if you want it to just be like, see you later.
I'm just gonna like hold my forearm up to the zombie, like my armored forearm, and just hold it there.
Okay.
And just see if it
see how it reacts.
It kind of like ugh, and is like grabbing the forearm and like trying. You could, instead of like, you can't really tell if it's like pulling you in or if it's trying to like use itself to pull out of the rubble, but it seems to be the latter.
Also my dragonling has come out from its backpack.
And, nice.
And it's just very cautiously but inquisitively approached the zombie and is like getting up close to it to like kind of like sniff at it and see what's up. But it's still safe distance away, so it's just doing that. I don't know. Does the zombie react to it? Does it notice?
I don't think it takes notice of your dragonling, but I don't know if others noticed it.
Zombies are bad.
Inherently evil. Is necromancy? Is it?
I'm just, you know, I'm a cleric. I've killed a lot of undead things.
So all undead. There's no. Maybe this is a DM question, but in this world that we inhabit, do we know of undead cultures that like aren't just reanimated corpses, say, that necromancers brought to life to do their bidding?
Yeah.
As basically slaves, or yeah. are there like whole cultures of undead that exist and thrive on their own?
I would say that there probably are undead species that thrive on their own. It's not, okay. Yeah.
But I do, okay.
Just a note again, when you spoke to it in common, it gave those responses, but when you spoke in Draconic,
it did not respond.
It didn't understand, so.
Okay, let me try this. I turn to the zombie, and I go, zombie, let's try something.
Yes.
Nod your head. Can you do...
Grunt.
Nod your head, yes.
Grunt, or two grunts. Two grunts for yes.
Yep. Two grunts for yes.
One grunt for no. Yep.
Can we do that? You guys trying to get me to make grunts.
Yep. You put us in this situation. This is your own.
I am role playing. This is a role playing game.
Do you understand Atari's request, zombie?
Yeah.
Yes. Let's get Laz to grunt some more.
All right, zombie friend. Are you evil?
And just like starts like trying to move rubble.
Okay, well that was one for
was
no.
That a no? Wait,
one for no. Is that what we said?
Yeah,
that was one. It was a long one.
It was a long one.
Not entirely convincing.
Yeah, I don't think it would tell you the truth either. I feel like if it's like you're trapped under rubble, these guys are like gonna kill you, and they're like, "Are you bad?"
How about this one? Zombie, are you hungry? Are you hungry for people?
It kind of like looks at you and like looks around the room.
And a Barum's hammer.
it looks around and only gives you one grunt.
Liar. I don't trust this zombie.
Do you wish to be purged from the mortal plane?
Nice. That was a good question, actually. No matter how intended.
It just kind of ignores you.
Can you help us?
So he's a rude zombie.
Can you help us navigate this building?
It does a really quick yes. And then, like, kind of, like, very awkwardly, like, is trying to, like, get the rubble off.
I think that we should rely on Barum's assessment of the situation. Although, if there's any other, does anybody else have an opinion about what this looks like? Reticent.
I mean, it's hard to say because in my line of work as a bard, I don't usually come across undead, so I sort of defer to Barum's clerical expertise in this matter.
Yeah, same.
I think Reticent should have a say too. He's also
And also, you know, Reticent is, you know, he's got his ways.
Reticent, what say you?
I think during all this, I've taken out my crossbow, loaded a bolt, and I just holding it, kind of pointed in the zombie's direction, and then I move to the next door and take a listen.
Okay.
As I'm. I'm just kind of keeping my eye on them, but I'm also like, what's ahead of us?
So,
are you like listening to that door on the south, or are you just kind of?
Yeah, like... I'm like keeping my guard up, but also like we need to keep going.
Did you want
to? Is there a way to destroy it? Is there a way to destroy the zombie to so that it's no longer suffering?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna let you guys deal with this. Actually, I'm gonna look at this. I'm gonna be like, "Hey, friend, I don't know. We're having trouble here. I'm pretty sure you're good." So I'm gonna walk towards the door too, and just kind of also take a listen.
Gonna like, I guess.
What's Sudama doing?
She wants to be.
Sudama's telling us about zombies and the colonial history.
Other used to
demarcate
the other, often attached to either disabled bodies, bodies of color, used as a scapegoat, used as like to demonize and justify violence.
See, the zombie hears that from the squirrel and it's like, "Ugh,
ant, okay. Ant."
Oh,
he's
responding. Sorry, ant, yeah.
He was explaining all that. He's like, "Yes, I have been oppressed."
what were you going to say, Barum?
Oh, you know, I feel like we can find like a middle ground here. And I'll like, try and, if I don't have anything, I'll just like make it out of metal with my thing. But I was thinking like a long pole, like maybe like a 4 or 5 foot pole.
Okay, and then have it wrapped around its neck, and
yeah, I'll put a rope on the end and just like hold it out in front. If it wants to like help us and lead us around this place, then sure, go nuts. But I'd like to have like I'll hold the stick with the thing on it, and then Reticent can stand right behind me, like aiming at the back of its head.
To know that it stands no chance if it turns against us. So I feel like, you know, I feel like that's a good middle. I feel like that's a good idea.
I have a question. Can we rest at any point safely in this place?
Should.
So that we all are like healthy.
Yeah. If you did.
Speaking of rest, I have to go pretty soon.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, you're good. I think if you did rest, it'd just be really awkward because there's this zombie in the room with you.
Just saying. We can rest while I make my contraption.
Rad. Yeah, because Barum's okay. You're okay health-wise, right, Barum?
Yes.
Right, because he was cured.
Yeah, I do need a little bit of health.
I can just use my hit dice if we short rest, so.
Okay.
I want to add spells, so how long of a rest do I need? I want to add spells for my spell book.
You would have to do a long rest, so I don't know if you want
8-hour rest.
A short rest for now or a long rest?
I vote long rest because there are spells that I'd want to add that could help us.
Okay.
I don't know if we want to necessarily sleep the night here, though.
It has to be at least 8 hours, I think.
Yeah. It could be. I mean, we don't know what.
8 hours in front of that zombie. That's weird.
Well, Baron's working.
Yeah. But there's still a lot of this building that we haven't explored. They could get the drop on us. Yeah. But I also could use a long rest, so I don't know. I'm not sure if it's the best idea given our situation, our surroundings.
Maybe,
but a short rest would do well for health.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If you do a short rest, if that's what you want to do, in the top right of your character sheet, you just click on the short rest and you'll automatically get the benefits and basically spend an hour watching this zombie.
Okay.
Just like, what are you doing?
I think also while this is happening, wait, so are we doing a short rest? Or are we doing a lot? Say one for short rest.
That's fine. If you guys think short rest is best, then we'll just do short rest. Why do I have boxes? Do I have to choose how I'm using my short rest?
That's for healing. When you take a short rest, you can spend your hit dice. So it's like how much HP you can heal over the course of the hour by resting. And it's based on your level. So you'll see you have 2 boxes there because we're level 2.
Yeah.
And so, like, if we were level 3, you'd have 3 boxes. And so it's just, like, for each box you tick, you can roll a dice of that, of whatever your thing is. Like, mine says hit dice 1d8 plus 3, because That's for my class, and then my constitution is +3. So that's how much HP I'll regen per box you use up. And you can use all of them or one of them. It can do whatever you want.
Go ahead.
What is the recover? Is that the same thing?
Recover is not something you'll use a lot. It's for spells that are affecting how much your max HP is.
So if I don't need any of that, though, because I'm at max, I just take short rests and then whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't have to use your hit dice because those are something you only get like that amount per day.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So until we long rest, taking a short rest won't heal us again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So is it okay if I hit recover and hit one die for the...
If you need health back, you would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
The recover won't do anything because we don't have any... Nothing's reduced our HP total.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's why mine didn't change.
So then... did you want... So we take the short rest, and then did you want to figure what you want to do with the zombie, or did you want to just kind of end the session here?
I don't know, up to y'all. It would be hard to move on without the cleric or without the druid, I think. But also,
wait, real quick. Druid?
See. Real quick. So I hit short rest, and then I check one of the boxes, and then I hit confirm, and it says
get some health back.
Well, it says the short rest taken, but I didn't get any health. Yeah.
Yeah, it's something you have to roll yourself. I don't think the site does it for you.
Oh, but it says it does it. It says.
Yeah, I know. It said like maximum recovery or whatever.
Relevant abilities have been it's just abilities.
Yeah, okay. That's like if you use something that refreshes on a short rest, like you wild shaping, it resets that stuff. It just doesn't do the health, I don't think.
Okay, so then how do I do the health?
I just feel like maybe Sadima.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I was just saying, I think Sadima has given us a lot of reading material for next time, so maybe we should all just like take a moment
homework
and like really consider how we want to approach a zombie.
Is the zombie passing out pamphlets to us? Like,
please consider a critical approach before you turn me into a slave.
God,
please.
I
mean, no one has to read that, but yeah, we could think on it for our next session.
What was the other thing that you mentioned for?
The animation, the animacy.
Yeah, what was that?
Oh, animacy. That's a whole book.
I'll find the clip.
I would actually recommend something else if you want to trouble the difference between animate and inanimate. But I could send some other resources if you like.
My goodness.
This is me always. Read more.
I will find a YouTube video. I don't have enough attention.
Actually, maybe I could. Yeah, it's a lot of reading. I can find one. Jane Bennett and Mel Chen are the people I'm thinking of. Or Jenny Schmidt, who we know. Oh, fuck. Okay, cut that out.
Cut that out there.
But we know a person who actually studies this stuff, who's real. Well, they're all real, but like we actually know. I'll find some stuff for you.
Okay.
Will Barim finish his poll? Will Datari write the next best hit with this new zombie friend or foe? Will Reticent
open up more?
Will Sadema turn back to a human, or I mean elf, half elf instead of an ant? Will Arya get new spells and befriend the zombie also? Stay tuned next time on D&D RPG PST.
Cool.
Yeah. Well done.
I don't know what to say about any of this. I'm for sure going to take a nap right after we're done, but and also I'm like, playing Dungeons and Dragons with a critical consciousness is like hard to do a little. Like,
it's sort of, yeah, I was kind gonna
of wears out my brain.
I was gonna ask folks because I found rules for how to parlaying with monsters. So there's opportunities for more dialogue conversations, and who knows, maybe monsters have their own interests that they need, and they can you know work together against the common foe. But I guess
sometimes I just want to see someone take a mace to the face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes I just don't feel like talking to them. I'm just like, can you please get out of the way? I'm tired.
So that's my question is for moving forward. Did we want to make assumptions that there is such a thing as like evil in this world and good, and that like sometimes talking isn't the right answer, or what do you all think?
We have to think about this over the course until we talk about this again. I cannot handle this conversation.
Okay.
There's like a whole exposition on what is evil and who gets to decide who's evil or not. And I mean,
I do. I'm the dungeon master.
Oh, that's a good point.
I'm the dungeon master. Is evil? The suits of armor. Evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you have to like. Oh yeah, because I was talking about this with Laz. Some time ago, because I was like, it's almost like the fantasy aspect is the fantasy is that there is black and white, because there is just evil. Like in the fantasy,
no, totally world, understand what you're saying.
Exists as a full on like that's a fucking evil creature. No,
it makes it so much more simple. Like you don't have to worry about what they're. But then that's bad, right? Like we don't want to be the kind of actual humans that just make those sorts of calls about other sentient beings. Like
this is our world that we're crafting, so
I know. Oh, for fuck's sake, I'm so tired.
Or Lazarus is crafting, but we're helping to also establish shape. An narrative,
right? Exactly.
So
I can't.
So
we're having
I gotta go, but these are lots of good things to think about.
This is a midlife crisis of D&D.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay.
A midlife crisis for D&D. I fully want to stab somebody. Like, right now.
Go ahead.
I mean, if you want to keep playing. Okay.
Sadima comes back, and she's like, where's the carnage come from?
Why?
Somebody just, like, took the ant and was like, all right, go ahead. Like,
and then she just...
All right, we're
it's
back.
It's like Shawshank Redemption, just the zombie character.
Oh.
Yeah, it's this is an interesting group.
I've actually thought about that a lot because hears us play sometimes and he's like, what the fuck? And not about the playing, like he's fine with that, but he understands how D&D works. And so he's like, I said Velociraptor earlier, and he was like, he looked at me and I was like, what? It's a playground. But I mean, like, to this criticalness, I'm on board with what you're talking about, because it's like I struggle with that a little bit, because I feel like there's just like a lot of reading I have done that I don't want to think about when I'm in this space. Like I kind of don't want to.
That's how I and feel.
Is it necessary to? Oh my God, I'm exhausted. It really honestly makes me kind of tired.
Yeah, that's how I feel too.
Personally, I see D&D as like a fun video game to like escape.
Yes.
Yeah.
The confines of like what's morally right and like just do what your character would want to do. Like if I'm playing a good character, then I'm going to be the same amount as good as I would be in the real world, or I could play an evil character and do the complete opposite of what I do.
Yeah.
Hence why when in the past me and Marks have played a Dungeons and Dragons campaign where he was the dungeon master and we played an evil campaign where everybody in the party was deliberately evil players. And it was so fun. I want to do that
it's
again.
It's so good.
I want to do that again. Like, how problematic would it be? Like, can you please help find the cure? And you're like, I need more money. It's like, 100 gold. It's all the town has. I want 100 more gold in that house. Or I'll kill
in
you.
In that house. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But at the same time, if a lot of video games, they don't let you actually... There's a lot of RPGs that don't let you actually role play.
They don't let you make those choices.
Yeah. So then, like, if my dream is to create a broad coalition of forces to overthrow tyranny, I can't do that without having conversations with zombies who might potentially become my allies.
That's true. That's
true. Oh my god! Hearts! All the hearts!
That's fine.
I
love everything about that.
So, it's interesting because me and had this conversation, I think, a couple weeks ago, and we were wondering about how do we balance or resolve or whatever the tension between, like, we're obviously good people who in the real world would, like, we're very critical of these things, and at the same time, like, we wouldn't just barge into a place and, like, kill five bandits. We'd be like, hey, what are you guys doing here? But in this world, in this game, we're just like, oh, five people, let's kill them, you know, without questions asked. I think maybe we should have a discussion. We don't need to record it or anything. Like, obviously, we should have a discussion on can we make some assumptions and put aside some real-world critical things, at least just enough so that we aren't like, is the zombie bad? What is evil for the zombie?
What is evil?
I think
that conversation is really interesting to record, though, because I feel like there is a little bit of a reckoning in terms of D&D and the way that it's played and who plays it, because you and I have talked about that too, Laz. Yeah. Like, what does it look like, and how can you purposely create a character that sort of goes against... What I mean, Sudama and I are not people who would ordinarily play in these spaces, and so what does it look like when you add people whose voices and ideas are much different? So I think that's a really interesting conversation to have. I think it's necessary. I guess I don't know that it's necessary this very minute or with this very group, but I think that it's, I don't know, interesting and important. And also sometimes I just want to see a mace to the face.
Public space travel.
Don't worry, buddy. You're doing fine.
Public space travel.